small hint in Kolel, she'd given on Tilling chapter Tesvot by Gershon Hepner on 6th of September 2009, which is the 17th, is it? 17th of Elul, Toshin Samach Tes. And this is the second shir on this chapter. Okay, the pasuk, you remember that the chapter tells us the 11 mitzvahs that a person has to keep in order to be zoche, to be yogur ba'alecha, or to be yishkem ha'kachecha, and we went through all these many mitzvahs last week. Just want to correct one small mistake which I made last week. Right at the end of the show, I think it was, I mentioned that according to one opinion in the Medrash, there are really 10 mitzvahs in the chapter, which correspond to the Aseret HaDibros. And I mentioned that in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak in the Medrash, and I actually got that wrong. It's really in the name of Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, and Rabbi Yossi asked him, "What do you mean 10? There are 11." It could be, it seems maybe it was his father who asked him, "What do you mean there are 10 mitzvahs, there are really 11?" And he answered, "No, because two of them are combined. Namely, lo rogal al lashono, which is a person not speaking lashon hara, goes together with lo osolari ehura'o, not doing harm to someone else." And really, those two things are synonymous, because if you're not going to speak lashon hara, you're not harming someone. I just got the name wrong last week. I said it was Rabbi Yitzchak, and it's not Rabbi Yitzchak. It's actually Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Yehuda.
Two together make 10.
That's right. Yeah, joining two together gives you a total of 10. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara counts it out as being 11. Okay, we've almost finished Pasuk Alos. Yeah. Oh, let's go back over the not Pasuk Alos, it's actually Pasuk Beis, isn't it? So once again, let's just go back to the beginning. Lamatzach Mizmah, no wrong one. Mizmah Ledovid, a song to David. No, it's Pasuk Alos. Mizmah Ledovid, a song to David. Hashem, God, mi yogur ba'alecha, who can live or dwell in your tent? Mi'ishkem ha'kachecha, who will dwell or live in your ha'kachecha, in your holy temple? And we had a number of opinions as to what is meant by this ohel, mi yogur ba'alecha, and what's meant by ha'kachecha. The Sephorno, I got hold of a copy of the Sephorno on Tehillim. I give credit, I got hold of it from an old Talmud of mine actually, Michal Richman, who is a great grandson of the Grossnasses, Aleh Mashalom, yeah, of Mr. and Mrs. Grossnass.
Richman,
Michal Richman. He had a copy of the Sephorno on Tehillim, and I borrowed it from him. And the Sephorno learns that Miyagur Ba'olecha, who will dwell in your tent, is a reference to the times of Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, who will be zoche to survive the arrival of Mashiach? Something along those lines, because it won't be an easy time. With the arrival of Mashiach, you need to be zoche to live to see it and to live through those times. And then when the pasuk continues, Miyishkon b'har kodshecha. Miyogur ba'alecha, still on that one, Miyogur ba'alecha is reference to who of the Kohanim will be zochet to serve in the third Beis HaMikdash. So we've had its references to the first Beis HaMikdash, who's zochet to be in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Sfondo learns it's a reference to Bayis Shlishi, which Kohanim will be zochet to dwell and to serve Hashem in that third Beis HaMikdash. And then the second half of the pasuk, Miyishkem HaKoshecha, the Sfon who learns is a reference to Yerushalayim of the future, who will dwell in Yerushalayim of the future during the times of the third Beit HaMikdash. Rabbi Yishaya from Turin, that's the same Mechaba as the Tosfos Rid on the Gemara, on Shas, Rabbi Yishaya from Turin, he learns that Miyagur Ba'alecha is a reference to the whole world. Who is Zocha to live? What's this ohel? It's a reference to the world as we know it. Who is zocha to live to survive olam hazeh? You want to be zocha to live in olam hazeh? You've got to that's miyogur ba'alecha. You have to have all these good middos. Okay. The Yalkut Miyam Lois, he learns similarly to what we've learned earlier, namely that Yogur Ba'alecha is a reference to living in your tent, is a reference to Olam Hazeh, i.e. temporary way of life, while miyishke b'har kodshecha is reference to olam haba. And he learns that the shamayim, as we learned earlier, is compared to an ohel, niyoguba ohalecha, the living under the sky. And that comes from the pasuk in Yeshaya, it was from chapter mem, pasuk kaf beis, and I'll get that for you. Oh, I think we did it last week, Yeshaya chapter mem, kaf beis. Yeah, that's it. We did it last week. Hanuta chadok shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stretches out the heavens like a cloak. Vayintochim ka ohel. He stretches them out like a tent. So the word ohel is reference to shamayim. Okay, that's just really for the sake of completeness. Olam hazeh. Yeah, that's right. That's it. Olam hazeh. Miyagub alecha. Who would live in the world under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heavens?
Yeah.
And then Miyishkan Ba Har Kodshecha is reference to higher up, Har Kodshecha mountain, i.e. Olam Haba. The Al-Sheikh learns that the whole thing is reference to Olam Haba. Miyagub Alecha, Miyishkan Ba Har Kodshecha, the Al-Sheikh learns the whole thing is who will be Zilcha to become a Ben Olam Haba. And he learns that, slight mistake there. And also Tchet HaMesim, who will be Zilcha to Olam Haba, and after that to Tchet HaMesim. And he says that the idea of Olam Haba, he quotes a number of Ma'amari Chazal, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where Olam Haba, Gan Eden, is described as being like a chuppah. And everybody has their own little chuppah in Olam Haba. Your own area, I guess, a chuppah. And he says that's why it uses the expression, Yogurba Olecha, a tent, like a chuppah, i.e. your own portion, your own chelik in Olam Haba. That's how the Al-Sheikh learns it. Yeah? Good. The Al-Sheikh then goes on with a very funny comment. He says that it's actually really easy to be a Ben Olam Haba. That's what he says. And he tells the almost like a madcap story of a gunner's. How does the gunner live? The gunner lives, he steals, and then he's smitten by guilt, and then he's on the run, and everyone's after him, and nobody trusts him anymore, and his whole life is ruined because of the geneva that he did. And the Al-Sheikh says, you know, all he had to do was to avoid stealing, and his life in Olam Hazeh would be much better. So he says, it's so easy to be a Ben Olam Haba, just stay clear of Averis, you'll have a happier existence in Olam Hazeh as well. He describes it in a very poetic way of a guy who's on the run from humanity, and he has no menucha in Olam Hazeh either, not in Olam Hazeh, certainly not in Olam Haba, but not even in Olam Hazeh. Why? Because he's suffered punishment for all his aviris. In the Masad Rav Kook edition on the Tehillim, he comments that the question that David asks, Miyagur Balecha, which is then answered by the rest of the Tehillim, he says, who's asking the question and who's giving the answer? And he gives excuse me. He gives a number of possibilities. He says the question could be asked by the people who come up to the Beit HaMikdash at Yom Tov time. The Ole Regel, they come up and they say, who can be Zocha to go into the Beit HaMikdash? And the Kohanim respond, he who has all these good middos. Or, he says, it could be that it's simply David HaMelech, or he calls him the Meshorer, the one who's the composer of this chapter, Tehillim, he's asking himself, and he in turn gives the answer himself. Or he said it could be the Talmidim asking the Rebbe, who can be Zoche to all these good things, and it's the Rebbe who gives the answer. And finally, he gives a final answer, it's much in the same vein, it's the people who approach the Chochem, or a Kohen, or a Novi, and the people ask this great man, who can be Zoche to Olam Haba, or to be in the Beis Mikdash, and the Chochem gives the answer. Good. And that's it for Pasuk Aleph. Hooray. So, Pasuk Beis. So, we now come to the first of the answers. Who can be Zocher to live who's Zocher to this wonderful thing of Yogur Balecha, Mishkam Hakot Shecha? Says the Pasuk, Holech Tomim, the one who goes in perfection, Ufoel Tzedek, and who does righteous deeds, the Dozer Emes Bilavavo, and who speaks truth, Bilvavo, in his heart. Let me just make sure I don't put the wrong papers here. Okay. Yeah. Holech Tomim, one who goes in perfection, or Pharaoh Pedek, who works with Tzidkus, with righteousness, the Devet Mes Bilvavo, and who speaks truth in his heart. Okay. That goes there. Here we go. So, of course, this is the beginning of the answer as to who's going to be zecher to these wonderful rewards of being in the Beis Mikdash or being in Gan Eden and so on. The Mitzvah David learns that Dovid Emes Bovovo, someone who speaks truth in his heart, I'll give the quote from the Mitzvah David. His expression, his wording is Ma'amis Mashavas Libo. He sets the thoughts of his heart in truth, Lidvar Mitzvah for the matters of Mitzvah. In other words, he says, not necessarily anything to do with speaking at all. Dover is to speak. The Mitzvah David says, not necessarily anything to do with speaking, but rather it's an expression of he sets his heart on the right direction of doing mitzvahs. There's a very interesting piece of Radak on this pasuk to analyze the word Tomim, Holech Tomim, the one who goes in perfection. Says the Radak, this word Tomim, the Radak says, I'm not sure what kind of word it is. He says, it could either be an adverb, and the holich tomim, it's the adverb to describe the verb holich. So holich tomim would be the one who goes perfectly. Alternatively, he says, the word tomim could be a noun. And holich tomim would therefore mean the one who goes in perfection. So the Radak says, at the end of the day, it doesn't make a big deal of a difference. But he says, just grammatically, he's not sure what kind of word this is. Either an adverb or a noun. It could be either. It's unusual. A word could be either an adverb or a noun in Hebrew. One or the other. Okay. And the Radak says that the idea is that all his activities in Olam Hazeh should all be betimimus, should all be with perfection. That's how he describes Holech Tomim. Okay. The Radak goes on to say that we have in this pasuk three major sections of human activity. Holech Tomim, one who goes in perfection. How does he do that? Ofel Tzedek, that's b'maaseh. Maaseh, action. Ofel Tzedek is doing things. He does things with righteousness. V'dover emes is the way he speaks. And b'levavo, what goes on in his heart is what goes on in his mind, machshava. Says the Radak, you have here maaseh, dibur, and machshava. Actions, speech, and thought. And that really sums up all human activity, and that's the description of holech tomim. That's holech tomim. How are you holech tomim? How do you go in perfection? Both of the things that you do, and the things that you say, and the things that you think. And then he adds, the Radak also adds that the Dover Emes Bovovo says not only does he, let's backtrack a little bit. The Dover Emes Bovovo, and I think this was brought by Rashi as well as the Radak. I'm going to check that in case I'm wrong. The Dover Emes Bovovo that he speaks. That's right. He does not speak Echad Beper VeEchad BeLev. He speaks his mind. One of the human failings is that you say very nice things to someone while thinking horrible things about them. Yeah, and you're not straight, not honest. Echad b'peh v'echad b'leiv. It's to speak echad b'peh v'echad b'leiv. What you think and what you say don't match. So
if you think something nasty, should we expect it not to say?
Yeah, obviously, yeah, not to say something. But you might speak.
You're right.
It means to be a bit dishonest. Yeah, mm-hmm. To be a bit dishonest. Not necessarily.
Then it wouldn't be the Dover Emes.
That's right. It's not Dover Emes Bovovo. So the pasuk says Dover Emes Bovovo is the person who does not fall into that trap. Mm-hmm. He's not medaber echad b'peh v'echad b'leiv. And Radak takes, that's how Rashi does it, and Radak accepts that and takes it one stage further. He says that Dover Emes Bovovo means that he does whatever he says he does. He does whatever he says he would do. Yeah, or he does what he thinks. Yeah. A bit like we say in Baruch Sh'omar, Baruch Omer Ve'oseh. Hashem says he'll do something and then he does it. And but human beings are not always like that. The Malbim learns that Holech Tomim is going in perfection, that's Benotam Lamokam. That whatever you do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's done b'tmimus, that's Benotam Lamokam. Ufo El Tzedek, doing good deeds, is Benotam Lachaveiro. And V'dev Emes Bovovo is an expression of Emunah. That you believe in your heart, you truly believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it sums up all aspects of our lives. It's Benotam Lamokam, and it's Benotam Lachaveiro, and it's Emunah as well. there's a Pirush which is called Musaf Rashi. It's the additional pieces of Rashi. It seems that maybe Rashi may be taken from other places. And again, I found it in that Sefer which I borrowed from Michal Richman. And he learns that the Dover Emes Bolvavo, he just explains that although it's an expression of thinking, although it means what's going on in your mind, it's expressed as Dover, speech. And he points out that you do find that what a person thinks is often described as what he says. And a classic case is in the Megillah, which says, Vayomer Haman Belibo. I don't think Rashi there brings that example, but Vayomer Haman Belibo, he said in his heart. What it means is, he thought, Vayomer Haman Belibo, Lemi Yachbet HaMelech Lassus Yekar Yesem Emeni. You know, when he comes to see Achashverosh. Oh, the Gemara asked that. And the Gemara says that's the main proof. You remember this Gemara? The Gemara says that's the main proof that Megillah Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Mordechai and Esther were able to write into the Megillah what Haman was thinking. How on earth would they have known? So the Gemara says that's the main proof. There are several proofs in the Megillah. The Megillah Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh, but Vayomer Haman Belibo is the main proof. That's how the Gemara puts it. Yeah.
Like they knew what he was thinking.
Yeah, they knew what he was thinking. Yeah. Like I know exactly what you're thinking now. Yeah. Yeah. Spooked out by that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The Sephorno says that Holech Tomim means learning Torah l'shem Shemayim. In order to give glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person learns Torah. Now let's get this. Yeah. V'yalkut miam lilies. Says Holech Tomim, very beautiful expression there. Holech Tomim, going in perfection. Tomim is perfection or completeness. And he says that's what Yaakov Avinu said to Esav when they met. Parshas Vayishlach. It's Vayishlach. It's chapter Lam Gimel Pasuk Gedalef, where Yaakov says to Esav, "V'chiyesh li kol. I've got everything I need. Thank you very much. I don't need any more." And that's Holech Tomim, where the person feels that with respect to his Olam Hazeh needs, he has everything he'll ever need. That's Tomim, that's an expression of completeness. And the Dover Emes Bolvavo says the Alchemy of Knows, if a person is careful with what he thinks, and he only has Emes in his heart, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send him a malach to make sure that he doesn't say anything bad either. Interesting, yeah? That a person will be granted a malach to be shown there his pair to guard his mouth, as long as he looks after what's in his mind. Yeah. That's the MSB
problem. But you should try to avoid bad thoughts about people.
That's right, yes. The Al-Sheikh points out, we have the pasuk for Ahav Tois Hashem Lekecha B'chol Levavacha B'chol Nashecha B'chol Nodecha. So B'chol Levavacha, the Mishnah in Brachos, it's Paktes Mishnah Hey, says Chai Vadon Levavacha La'ra'a K'shem Shemavacha La'tov. The person has to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when bad things happen, in the same way as he gives a bracha when good things happen. Shene'ema V'ahav Tois Hashem Lekecha B'chol Levavacha B'chol Nashecha B'chol Nodecha. And we darshan b'chol levavacha, the word for a heart is not levav, lamed veis veis, but the real word for a heart is lev, lamed veis. So why have we got an extra base there? B'chol levavacha, it could have said b'chol libacha, but levavacha is an extended form. And we darshan from that b'shnei yitzarecha. You said HaKadosh Baruch Hu both your yitzara and your yitzatov. For example, if a person, Rabbeinu Yonah on this mission explains that if a person got a Yetzirah for greed, so to channel that Yetzirah and become a Gavra Tzedakah, yeah, and be greedy to collect as much money as you can for Tzedakah, yeah, that kind of thing. So use the Yetzirah for good things. That's Mishnah Yetzirah. And the Mishnah here learns it that in the same ways we have to serve Hashem with both. Likewise, we should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu both on good news and Chas V'Shalom on bad news.
Once when someone wants to shed blood, you should become a shofar.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. Or a moel. That's right. A person who's born into the muzzle. Man to the madim. A person. Yeah. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. Kufi Zayin, I think. Yeah. A person who's born into a muzzle of blood.
Blood. Yeah.
He should channel that to good things.
Blood,
yes. But you're born into like a person is. It's predetermined that he's going to be get involved with blood, so he should become a shofet or a moel. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, in mazal yisol. It's in that Gemara. The Gemara discusses it. Yeah, whether there's mazal for yisol. I don't know. Don't know how the Gemara concludes it. That's it. Go out of your astronomy. That's how it took him lemala menashemayim. That's right. To show him that you're not bound by mazel. That's correct. Yeah, yeah. The Alshich utilizing that posuk v'chalavavacha and the way the Mishnah dashes it b'shnei tzarecha, he says here we have a dead emes b'lavavo. He speaks truth b'lavavo, not b'libo, b'lavavo, and he says that the idea is that you should speak truth both with the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra. What exactly means by that, I'm not sure. But again, channel the Yetzer Ra into a good direction. Let's get this right.
The horror is really the animal soul.
Pardon?
Yes, the horror is really the animal.
Animal soul within a person,
so,
yeah.
Without the animal soul, you can't live.
Yeah.
So to channel the Yetzer Hara is really to use your physical horror. Your Yetzer, right? You have your physical Yetzer, and train it as the animal, the horse pulls a cart. You get it to do what you want.
Yeah, that's it.
So harness it.
Harness it to good things, that's right. So you eat l'shem shemayim and you sleep l'shem shemayim, that's it, yeah, all these. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now the Medrash. That's right. The Medrash learns on our pasuk, Holech Tomim. Holech Tomim Fel Tedek Vizir the Emes Bovavo is a reference to the Ovis. Holech Tomim is a reference to Avram Avinu. Why? Shenema Pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram when giving him the command to do Bris Milah, His Halech Lefonai Veheye Tomim. So Avram is described as Tomim. Yitzchak is Fel Tedek. He did good. He behaved with right. He worked with righteousness. Why? Because he's prepared to let himself be shechted. And the Dover Emes Bovavo is Yaakov. Emes is always the mid of Yaakov. It's an Emes Le Yaakov. And therefore, this one posuk is a reference to the three others. Now, I just want to make sure I haven't left anything out here. Impossible. Yeah. Titan Emes Liakov is a reference to Yaakov Avinu. He brings it there?
Emes,
yeah, but Dover Emes Bovavo. Yeah, so that this posuk refers to the three others. Yeah. The Gemara in Makkos, again goes through this pasuk and all these pasukim. It's Makkos daf Kaftal Amud Aleph, and the Gemara explains also says that it's a reference to Avram, that Poel Tzedek Holech Tomim is a reference to Avram, so because of his Halech Lefonai Dei Yisomim, or Poel Tzedek be a work of righteousness. The Gemara gives who's the prime example of the person who's a Poel Tzedek? It was Abba Chilkiyah, or Abba Chilkiyahu. And that's a reference to the Gemara in Tanis, Daf Kaf Gimel, where the Gemara brings the story of this Abba Chilkiyah, this enormous Tzadik, tremendous Tzadik, and he lived at a time when there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael, and the Chachamim came to him knowing that he was able to daven for rain. If I'm not mistaken, he was the grandson of Choni HaMa'agel. Like Choni HaMa'agel, you know, he drew the circle, and he said, I'm not getting out of the circle, I'm davening for rain, and I'm not going to step out of the circle until it rains. So Abba Chilkiyah had the same koach to be able to daven and bring rain for Eretz Yisrael. And there was one time when there was a drought, and they came to meet Abba Chilkiyah and to ask him to daven for rain, and they found him, he was working, and they greeted him, and he didn't reply, and there's a famous story, there's a long story there, that they took him, he went home with them, and they saw him doing all sorts of strange things, and only at the end did they ask him, why did you do this? Well, when we greeted you, you didn't reply, and then he walked through a very thorny area of land, and he raised his cloak so that the cloak wouldn't get damaged, that meant his legs would get a bit scratched, and he said, well, that's okay, so my legs get a bit scratched, they'll heal, but I don't want the cloak to rip. And he came home, and he did all sorts of strange things. So he was a tremendous tzaddik, but he did lots of strange things, which they asked him about. The Chachamim asked him what he did, and he explained every single one of them. Well, of course, the very first one was that they greeted him, and he didn't reply. Why didn't he reply? The answer is because he was an employee, and he was at work. And he didn't even want to, he didn't want to be disturbed from his work, even for a moment, even just to greet them for a second, because he felt that would take away time from his employer, for which he was being paid. So therefore, he is described as a Poel Tzedek.
Gemara Tanis.
It's in Gemara Tanis. I'll give you the it's Taf Gimel.
I know they have a lot of the stories there about.
Yeah, That's it. That's all that Gemara there. That's right. So that's in Taf Gimel. This actually goes on to Ahmed Aleph and the Ahmed Base. Here it is. I'm sorry, where's it gone?
He was like his grandfather.
Yeah, he had the same character as his grandfather, that's right. Sorry, my notes are not as they should be. Okay, I've got it here. Yes, it is. That's it. Tanis Kafkiman Ahmed Aleph and also Kafkiman Ahmed Beis. The Marasha asks two good kashas and he gives an answer. I didn't understand the answer, but I'll tell you the kasha. He asks the kasha, he says, well, why didn't he reply? Replying to someone is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. If someone greets is a mitzvah, and to reply with a greeting is also a mitzvah. Why didn't he reply? And he gives another kasha, very sweet kasha. We have a halacha, Poel Chozer B'chatzi Hayom. A worker is entitled to stop working partway through the job. If he wishes to go on strike, he has an option to do that. Ask a shayla. I once went on strike and asked a shayla to have a kufa first. And he said, yes, Poel Chozer B'chatzi Hayom. It wasn't a pleasant experience, but it, Baruch Hashem, it had a happy outcome. Anyway, so the Masha asks, well, why didn't he could have Poel Chozer, he has a right to be Chozer in the middle of the job. Why didn't he reply to the Chachomim? That's his Kasha. I don't know the answer. I didn't understand the answer he gives, but I guess he was worried about getting involved in a long conversation with Chachomim, so he just didn't reply at all. Maybe Poel Chozer B'chatzi Hayom means he can stop working, but once you stop, you can't necessarily go back to it unless the employer is happy to employ you again. So he didn't want to interrupt at all. Yeah. Now the Dota Emet, so Abba Chilkiah is described by the Gemara as being the wonderful example of this person who's a Poel Tzedek. What a fantastic employee he was. He didn't stop working even to return a greeting to the Chachamim. That's Abba Chilkiah. The Dota Emes Bulvavo, who is the prime example of the Dota Emes Bulvavo, the person who speaks truthfully in his heart, says the Gemara, it's Kagon Rav Safra, like Rav Safra. What's the story of Rav Safra? Again, a very famous story. Rav Safra was a businessman, and he was once in manning his stall in a market. I saw that he was trying to, what he had on sale was a chamer, a donkey, and a fellow came along and made an offer on this donkey. Trouble was, at that moment, Rav Safra decided to recite Krishna. So he's in the middle of saying Shema, you know the story? He's in the middle of saying Shema, yeah?
Good. I
haven't seen it as Amida. I saw it as Krishma. So he's in the middle of Krishma. You know this might say he's in the middle of Krishma. The fellow made a bid on the donkey. Rav Safra doesn't reply. He's in the middle of Shema. So the fellow thought, oh, obviously my bid wasn't high enough. So he upped the bid. So he said, I'll pay you more. And Rav Safra didn't reply. Still didn't reply. And it's happened four or five or more times. And he kept upping his offer. The buyer kept upping his offer. Finally, Rav Safra finished saying Shema. Or finished davening, Amida, whichever it was, and he turned to this customer and he said, "You know something? He said, I heard you bidding, and I will accept your first bid, the lowest, because he said when you said that amount of money, I was actually quite happy to accept that amount of money." And he took that. That's over Emes Bulvavo, what was in his heart, and he said, "I would have been quite happy with that money, the first bid, so I'll accept that." That's the Gemara story. Now there's another story about the same man, about Rav Safra, which is not brought in the Gemara, but I found it quoted in the Yalkut Miam Lois. An amazing story. Rav Safra was once went out walking with some friends, and they were just going for a walk, and they met a very great chassid, a great, very pious man. And this pious man was on his way into the town, and the pious man, this chassid, misunderstood, jumped to the wrong conclusion, and assumed that Rav Safra and his chaverim had come out to greet him as a kavod, to meet him. So he said, well, it's very kind of you to come and meet me. Thank you very much indeed. Very, very, I'm very moved. I'm very touched by the fact that you came out to greet me, showing me such kavod. So Rav Safra said, well, actually, as a matter of fact, we're just out on a walk. So this chassid, this great man, was very embarrassed, you know, like he was embarrassed by that. And afterwards, the Talmidim of Rav Safra turned to us and said, why did you say that? You should have let him believe that we were out on a walk. Why did you tell him? You should let him believe we came to greet him. Why did you turn around and walk? So he said, well, for me, if I would have said that we came to meet him, that would have been a lie. Yeah? Midrash HaKetirchok. I can't tell a lie. So they said, okay, so you don't need to tell him the truth that we're out on a walk. You should have just kept stum. Don't say anything. So he said, I can't keep silent. Keep silent would have broken the posuk, v'dover emes v'lvovo. I've got to speak what's in my heart. It's in my heart is I know we're out on a walk. So we haven't come to meet him. And for me to remain silent would have transgressed this posuk of v'dover emes v'lvovo. It's amazing, really. The fact is, it embarrassed him. It embarrassed this chassid. Of course, and then avera being malbu pnei chavera barabim, embarrassing someone. And we see there are many heterim. Well, we say leolam. What's the lashon in Sota? Leolam yashlich adam etatzon l'tzech kishen eish val malbu pnei chavera barabim. You know, like leolam from Yehuda and Tamar. I don't know the answer. On his madriga, he felt v'dove emes b'lvovo is pam. Maybe he couldn't have envisaged that it was going to embarrass him. Maybe he didn't realize it would embarrass him.
Because then he didn't know you were coming, but welcome.
Yeah, I'm sure he said. I'm sure he gave him a nice welcome. But yeah. Anyway, okay, that's Rav Safra. That's the second story about Rav Safra. So two stories there, both about Rav Safra. Yeah.
If in your heart, what was the need? He knew what the truth was. He knew why he was coming. So why did he have to tell the chassid what was in his heart? Was it necessary?
Yeah,
if the fact that the chassid may have thought differently, it's not in his heart. The chassid has got one thought. So he's not really being over, but over MS Bilbao.
Well, you mean to remain silent?
To remain silent, yeah.
Yeah, maybe he learns that v'dover emes v'lvovo means you should speak out that which is truly in your heart. And what was truly in his heart was knowing he was out on a walk. And therefore he felt he had to...
But he never had said anything earlier to contradict that.
I know. It's very
strange. It's not as if he'd said something, I've said something wrong, v'dover emes, well, I've got to say the correct thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the other person's got the wrong end of the stick, he'd made a mistake. But in his heart, he knew what he really had said. The fact that the chassid didn't know what was in his heart, you know, what the true reason is, shouldn't have made that much difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It's strange. I would have lied my way through that one. I would have said, yeah, we come to meet him, you know.
Yeah. I thought you were allowed to.
Something like that. Shalom.
Sometimes it's important, you know. Yeah. Family matters, for example.
Yeah. So it's more politic
to let them have the wrong impression.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, very interesting thing on this, but over MS Bilvovo, of course, I didn't chap this at all, but you know, in Shachris every morning, Le'olam Yehei Odom Yerei Shemayim Baseisel Vagolui, Omodelo MS, but over MS Bilvovo. And it comes straight from here. Now, in the Mossad Rav Kook edition on this Tehillim, he brings a Rambam, and I looked for this Rambam and I could not track it down, but he brings it there, namely that as part of one's Seder HaTefillah, after saying Berachas HaShachar, one should recite this chapter of Tehillim. and I couldn't. This chapter Tillim should be recited, and I couldn't find it in the Rambam. It's not in our Ashkenazi Siddurim, but I looked it up upstairs in a Sfaradi Siddur. I borrowed a Siddur from one of the Bachrim, a Sfaradi Bachrim Yeshiva, actually an old Talmud of mine, Yonatan El Kubi, who's now learning in Yeshiva upstairs, and he's a Sfaradi, and I borrowed his Siddur, and there it is. After Bechas Hashacha, there it is in the this chapter Tillim is printed where we say Le'olam Yehi Adam Yeshem Amesisa Vagolim Modal Emes Dover Emes Will Follow. They bring that Siddur brings the entire chapter. Interesting, yeah. Okay.
After Shachar is
no, no. Before at the beginning of Shachar, after Brachas,
after Brachas,
after Bechas Hashacha, after the Brachas. Yeah. Let me make sure I've said it. Yeah. Okay. sorry, I just want to check. I wrote some of my notes on the wrong page. I just want to make sure I've got it correct here. Yeah, I said it's correct. Okay. Yeah, let's move on. Have we got time? Yeah, let's move on. Can you just bear with me a second? I'm sorry. Yeah. A couple of other things still on Pasuk base. Oh, yes. The Mashah about Rav Safra. Let's come back to the first story about Rav Safra. The Rav Safra was prepared to accept the lower bid, even though he hadn't said anything within the middle of Shema. He was prepared to accept the lowest bid. The Mashah points out a beautiful thing on this. Says the Mashah, when it comes to giving an item to Hekdesh, we have a halacha that if you just say you're giving an item to Hekdesh, that the item already belongs to Hekdesh. That is, if two human beings, if Reuben is going to make a kinyan be makne an item to Shimon, if I'm going to give an item to someone else, so I give it to him, you need a mesira, you need to hand it over. I give it to Shimon, and Shimon makes a kinyan on it, and that's the kinyan. However, the same is not true when it comes to donating an item to Hekdesh. You don't need to give anything physically. Amiroso lugavoa kimisiroso lehediot. Just saying something is good enough to make the kinyan to be makdish on itself. If a person says, "I am makdish my behemoth," I hereby am makdish my behemoth. That's it. It's hekdesh, even if he hasn't moved the animal, even if he hasn't handed the animal over to anyone. There's a meiri on that, which I learnt from a very big Talmud Chacham, a good friend of mine, Eliyahu Meir Smith, who was the son of the late Rav David Smith from Stafford Hill. He once said, he quoted a Meiri to me once, that Olam Hazeh, I need to give an item to, I give an item to Reuven in Olam Hazeh. And Amira, speech just goes into the air. It's like it just goes into the air or into a non-tangible world. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is a non-tangible world. So therefore, when you're giving something over to Hekdesh, you can do it with a mere amira, just by saying it. That's why we have halacha, amirosa legavera, to saying you get donating to Hekdesh is kimisirosa lehed, is that handing something over to another person. It affects the kinyan. Says the Mashah, what Rav Safra was doing was going one stage further. Not just saying something, but even what he's thinking. That was enough, as far as Rav Safra was concerned, that was enough to make the kinyan. In his mind, he was happy to accept the lowest bid, and therefore, as far as he was concerned, that was the kinyan done and dusted. Yeah? And the Mashal quotes the Pasuk about giving donations to the Mishkan, where it says, Kol Nediv Libo. Or is it Kol Nediv Leiv? Kol Nediv Libo. Anyone who wants... Pardon? Yivyeha. Thank you, that's it. Kol Nediv Libo, Yivyeha. Yeah, beginning of Truma, I think. Yes, Kol Nediv Libo. That's donating something in your heart. That means you haven't actually done anything. You haven't given it physically. You haven't even said anything. You've just thought about it. So that's enough. That was the donations to the Mishkan. Even someone who just thinks that he wants to donate something. So the Mashal points out that Rav Safra, in his business dealings, he brought Kedusha to his business dealings. The most mundane act of a business deal, which is really separated from Kedusha, Rav Safra imbued that with Kedusha by applying halachic rules of Hekdesh even to his business deal. Isn't that a nice thought? That's how the Mashal learns, that he was prepared to accept the low bid, and so that was it. So he accepted that.
Because in his mind he'd accepted a price.
Exactly, even in his mind. So, so in a way he was operating in business like Hektish would operate. That's how the Maharsha explains it. The Meiri learns that Holech Tomim Uferel Tzedek is an expression of, even if you are a Poel Tzedek, even if your actions are righteous, remain a Holech Tomim, don't get big headed about it. That's how he learns it. Don't be big headed about it. And then the Meiri also learns that V'dod Emes Bil Vovo is an expression of Tefillah. Because Pasuk earlier in Tehillim chapter 10, Pasuk Beis, Oda Hashem L'chol Libi, I will thank Hashem with all my heart, is an expression of Tefillah, and therefore Dovah Emes Bil Vovo is also an expression of Tefillah. Govern well, he's saying. Dovah Emes Bil Vovo, be good at Tefillah. And that I think concludes Pasuk Beis. And we'll leave it there. So I'll tell you what, let's leave it there, because that's a good place to stop. Yeah, okay, we'll leave it there, and we'll miss it, and we'll tackle possibly next week.
Thank you.